tropical storms must bow before El Nino. Yo soy El Nino. For those of you who don't habla Espanol, El Nino is Spanish for the Nino.
Hawaii's dry season is coming to an end, and this year was drier than average with drought conditions on four islands. NOAA Weather Service tells us we're headed for a La Nina season in the months ahead, and Kevin Kodama, Senior Service Hydrologist at the National Weather Service's Honolulu Forecast Office, is on the line to tell us what that means. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Thanks for talking with us.
Great to be here.
I'm not sure how many people really understand the El Nino, La Nina, what they are, but La Nina is cooler ocean temperatures. Nino is warmer, right?
That's correct. La Nina is cooler than average temperatures, sea surface temperatures near the equator, and El Nino is the opposite of that. It's warmer than average sea surface temperatures near the equator, and both can have big impacts on weather conditions in the Hawaiian Islands.
Are we headed toward a La Nina season? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what it looks like. I mean, currently we're kind of in between the two, but we're trending toward a La Nina, and the Climate Prediction Center is forecasting that La Nina could develop sometime this fall.
What does that mean for us in Hawaii?
Well, for the wet season, which runs from October through April, we're looking at overall, the area having above average rainfall conditions, but you know, with our local microclimates, that can mean a lot of different things. And so, there's the potential for wetter than average, mainly on the windward sides, and maybe some drier than average conditions on the leeward sides, depending on how strong that La Nina gets.
So, kind of more exaggerated conditions on either side of the equation, sounds like.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility, but you know, again, it all depends on how strong the event becomes. If it's a weaker event, then we could see a better distribution of rainfall on both sides of the islands.
Yeah, this is a weather prediction we're talking about, so we kind of have to qualify everything, don't we, Kevin?
That's true. You know, when is there ever a slam dunk in the weather and climate business? So there's always these, we try to express things in terms of probabilities, and that's just the nature of it.
And the La Nina probability in this case is described as higher than average, yeah?
That's right. A 55 to 60% chance of La Nina developing, and if it does develop, then it should persist through the winter months and then trend back toward neutral conditions in the spring.
Well, you referred a little bit a minute ago to Hawaii's microclimate changing the nature of those predictions. What's the effect of a microclimate, and what is a microclimate?
Well, because of our terrain, we have very significant mountain ranges in the state, and those play a really significant role in determining how rainfall is distributed. You know, that combined with the prevailing wind flow. So, with trade wind conditions, you know, of course, what we call the windward sides or the east-facing slopes, they tend to get most of the rainfall. Mm-hmm. And then when we switch around to the winter months, typically we get more episodes of what we call Kona winds, which would be winds coming from the south and west.
Right.
And so the leeward sides, you know, the south and west slopes of the islands would tend to get more rain. However, if we get a strong La Nina, then there may be a higher frequency of wintertime trade winds, you know, which would be a bit unusual. And so then the rainfall would tend to be emphasized more on the east-facing slopes rather than getting it in leeward sections.
So essentially a microclimate is the difference between Hilo and Kona or Kailua and Honolulu based on which side of the island they're on, where the winds go, yeah?
That's right, and it can even be a finer scale than that. I mean, even from the back of Manoa Valley to where UH is, where my office is,
wow.
I mean, that's, you know, the rainfall change can be very noticeable, even that short distance.
Well, that's something that we who live in Hawaii for any length of time get kind of used to, but it is part of the unique characteristics of our islands, isn't it?
That's right. You know, actually, the Hawaiian Islands are located in what could be considered a desert region of the ocean because you really don't get that much rain in the open ocean, you know, around us. But because our mountains are so effective at producing rainfall, we get some of the wettest spots on Earth just here in the islands, whereas just over the open ocean, it can be pretty dry out there most of the year.
I never heard that that referred to that way before. So if you were, it really is the effect of our very sort of jagged mountains sticking up there, relatively new mountains geologically with those sharp peaks. That's what triggers the rain from the clouds passing over, huh?
That's right. You know, studies have shown that over the open ocean around us, maybe about 25 inches a year, but you look at Mount Waialae, for instance, or the east slopes of Haleakala, and you can get around 400 inches in a year. So the huge difference, and just that's the effect of the mountains lifting up moist air.
Yeah, that really is. You know, Kevin, we every time we have an unusual weather event in recent years, people say, oh, you know, everything is changing. This is climate change. We're really feeling the effects of it. How exaggerated is that perception? How accurate is that perception?
Well, you know, climate is always changing. So it's interesting when people talk about, oh, climate change. But, you know, it's always changing, going from one phase to another. There are short-term cycles over months and other longer-term cycles over years and even decades. And so... You know, and also people have short memories sometimes. So
yeah.
Maybe what you think is strange, you know, just a shorter term trend over the last few years. Maybe you arrived here just in the last 5 years and it seems really wet. Whereas, you know, if somebody who's been here 10, 20, 30 years would think, oh, no, this is more normal. So it makes for interesting perceptions.
When you talk about, for instance, the season just gone by, or the season we're just kind of emerging from, the dry season, you're looking back 30 years, right?
Yeah, that's 30 years is our baseline for what we call a good long period of record. Of course, we can go longer than that, but we tend to standardize it to 30-year period.
Mm-hmm. And how do we stack up in a 30-year analysis like that?
Well, right. With the dry season that we just ended, it was the 13th driest. So actually, you know, sort of right in the pretty close to the middle. But if you break it down further, we had more rain in May and June, but July through September got really, really dry. And so, you know, if you subtract out the beginning part, it would have been, much, much worse in the statistics.
One of the things that I've been hearing lately, and it's a discussion we're going to have a little bit later in this program, is that dry seasons really have an effect on wildfires, because there's an awful lot of dry vegetation that builds up over a long hot summer. Yeah,
that's correct. You know, the wildfire folks and the first responders, they key up right at the beginning of the dry season. You know, they lean forward. And, you know, this is the time of year when they expect to have an uptick in the brush fire outbreaks. Fortunately, the last few years, since we've had wet summers as a result of the El Nino that we had, they were fortunate enough to have not many ignitions. But, you know, the flip side of that is you get more fuel, you know, growing. So it just could worsen things later on.
So you might a wet season might mean more vegetation, much of it invasive vegetation, and then that kind of creates problems when you get back to a dry season, just more things to burn. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so it you know, when you get abundant rainfall during the wet season, it could be a mixed blessing depending on the way you look at things, because it just does could present. More things to burn if we get a sudden dryness, and then, you know, all that green vegetation dries out.
So much to keep track of, Kevin. I really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll hope to be able to check in with you from time to time. Thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Kevin Kodama is a senior service hydrologist at the National Weather Service's Honolulu Forecast Office.